It says in Philippians 3:10-14, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have arrived at my goal, but I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Brothers, sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, a mic stand. So I reach behind going this, you're probably reading up the text. And I was just like, oh, what's that behind me? Forgetting what's behind me and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul wrote this text, and most theologians believe he wrote it in around 55 AD. He first visited Philippi, the Philippian church, in about 49 AD, and that's where we read in Acts chapter 16, where he rocks up and there's some people that get saved, and then him and Silas get thrown into a place called prison. And it's not a fun place to be. He's locked in a dungeon, he's worshipping, but then the guards end up coming to faith in Christ when a miraculous earthquake takes place and all this crazy stuff goes down. He had seen so many miracles. His life had been changed radically. He had been faithfully preaching the gospel. He was continuing to be faithful in discipling those that had made decisions to become believers, baptizing them, teaching them how to live a life that is glorifying Christ and not just adhering to the religious requirements of Judaism or living in a way that's comfortable for the social climate of the time with the Roman Empire. He was teaching them what it actually looked like to live as a Christian, a disciple, a follower of Jesus in that time and place. Yet he still said, I have not obtained the goal. You know, most of us, if we had accomplished what Paul had accomplished at the time of him writing this, so this was about 6-7 years later, so he's seen all these miracles, churches planted, he'd been shipwrecked, and then he'd been bitten by snakes, he'd been healed, and then he saw healings of other people, he planted more churches, he discipled others. Most of us, let's just be, this is just me and my first world mentality here in the 21st century. I would think that resume of what he had accomplished, that you could almost say, hey, if anyone could boast and say, I've obtained what it looks like to actually be a disciple of Jesus Christ, would you agree with me that probably Paul has a pretty good stake to claim that he'd maybe arrived at that place? Could you guys sort of agree with me that if anyone could boast about that, maybe Paul could? Yeah. See, I honestly think he could. Like, when you look at what he'd accomplished, the miracles he'd seen, the churches he'd planted, if anyone was able to say, look, I've pretty much arrived. I've pretty much got my life to a point where I've left the past behind and I'm living fully for Jesus. Yet Paul says, I haven't obtained the goal. And that's because the goal that he was obtaining was that of becoming more like Christ. And the reality is, whilst we still breathe and alive on this side of eternity, none of us will make it in fullness to that goal of being 100% like Jesus. Now, that shouldn't mean that we go, well, just because I can't make it to that goal, I just won't bother. No, that's foolishness. That's an abuse of God's grace that he's given us freely through Christ Jesus. No, it's to encourage us that if you haven't got it all together yet, that's okay. But God does want you to stay where you're at, and he wants to continue to work with you in Christ-likeness to transform you and take you from glory to glory, to see your life continually move forward in being sanctified, being made more like him, so that the world can see Christ in you formed in fullness. Amen. Amen. He said he had not obtained the goal. and he was still working towards the prize. The goal was to be like Christ. And I want to encourage each and every single one of us here today, make that your goal. Make that your goal. There is nothing else in life that even comes close to that one thing, to choosing to live a life that says, my goal is to be like Christ. Not trying to be like him for the sake of keeping up appearances, because your heart is hungry, because you know the fullness of what he has given us by dying on that cross for us and making a way for us to be saved. It's a response of gratitude and thankfulness, not a response of just grin, bite your teeth, and just do it because the Bible says. No, it's in response of the goodness of our God. We were dead in our sin. As I shared this morning, when we were stranded out at sea, we were completely stuck. We had absolutely no hope of rescue unless someone came to our rescue. And each and every single one of us is in that same place, in that same boat. Apart from Jesus, if we're in that boat in isolation, in a sea called sin, the only way for salvation is through Christ Jesus and accepting the grace that he has given us, placing him as Lord and Savior of our life, accepting that he died on that cross and rose again in our place, victorious over sin, and trusting him, being led by the Holy Spirit to then become overcomers ourselves as new creations. The goal to be like Christ. And the prize in this day and age, when you looked at runners, and this was the metaphor that Paul was using, runners back in those days, especially in the Roman Empire, they would have these incredible races. Like, I think most people would have heard of like marathon. Like that word actually stems back from a race that actually occurred back in the Greek. My brain just blanked for a second. I was going to say Roman, but it was actually Greek. But we still use that word today, and it's you know, the prize back then, they didn't have gold medals like the Olympics. They would actually give them a crown of glory. And the Bible is clear in a bunch of different verses how we are actually given a crown of glory when we enter heaven, when we've faithfully run the race of living a life for Christ. So the goal is to be like Christ. The prize is salvation, eternal salvation, and being accepted into heaven, welcomed home by the Father. You see, friends, the goal is to live like Christ, becoming more like him, an ongoing, continual goal here on earth. None of us will complete it until we kick the bucket, as my father would say. So don't give up. Don't fret or be dismayed if you feel like you're falling short of God's glorious standard, because we all do. And that's why it's called grace. See, becoming more like him is ongoing, it's continual. See, those teams, they continue in the NBA and in the NFL to try to get more points, to try to achieve the goal, so they can get to the prize of potentially getting to a playoff and potentially winning that. Blanker and Regan, those two dogs, their goal was to catch that foam thing, have lots of fun, but then receive the love, the praise of their father, or their fur daddy. How's that work? Anyway, you can figure that one out. But in the same way, we need to have that same sort of heart, like Blanker and Regan, towards the way we live for God. It's like we live for our Father's approval, not for the world's approval. They lived solely for Mark's approval, not for anyone else's. And we need to have that same sort of heart orientation towards our Father in heaven, that if God says jump, we jump. If God says we're going for a walk, we go. And we go for a walk. And we only graduate from that goal of Christ-likeness when we meet Christ face to face and we finish our time here on earth. Whilst I was traveling actually a fair bit I end up writing a song about this. And sorry if I play you guys a song. Yeah? Sorry if I use your...
Let's see. Ooh, there we go.
Put it in mono.
Oh, it's stereo.
Okay, come on.
So, I wrote a song pretty much that summed up pretty much everything we've been talking about. And I loved how when Simon was sharing earlier as well, it was a lot in this vein as well about continuing to yield our lives to Christ and trust Him in different seasons of life. And let me encourage you, maybe just in this moment, just to either close your eyes or put your hand in your heart or do whatever you need just to stop and just listen to the Holy Spirit and listen out for the Father's heart towards you in this moment. I won't choose to yield my heart again into your sovereign hands, for I know you know what's best for me. So I'll trust the Father's plans. When trials lay a hold of me, and the cave to fears demands, I know therein lies the victory. When I'm weak, in Christ I'll stand. Anxious thoughts grip my soul, and my strength begins to wane. I will stand, I will resolve, cast on Him my guilt and shame. How you walk the road to Calvary, joy endured the cross. Now seated there in majesty, interceding there for us. In my weakness, your grace perfected, Christ alone becomes my strength. When others leave me, won't desert me, you, my God, are always there. And in the fire, in the trial, trusting Christ through it all. And in the tempest, in the wild, I know my God is in control. This world is not our home.
Hebrews 4:14-16 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess." Hold firmly. Hold firmly. Let me encourage you, hold firm. Hold firm. Just keep holding on to Jesus. Keep holding on to Jesus. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus can empathize with whatever struggle, whatever challenge, whatever battle, whatever circumstance that we're going through. There is nothing that we can face or be feeling or fighting that is beyond the ability of Jesus to be able to intervene when we step out by faith and trust him in that area of life. When we hold it in our own hand tightly, under my control. But when we yield it to Jesus, say, "God, I need you. God, continue to work in me. Continue to transform me. Continue to restore me. Continue to redeem me. Continue to deliver me. Continue to work with me, making me more like you in every aspect of my life." He is faithful to bring grace and to bring mercy to help you walk out this life of being a disciple of Christ.